Welcome to Instructional Coaching with Miss B, where we believe that every teacher deserves a coach and every coach does too. I'm Chrissy Beltran, an elementary teacher who became a coach, and I had to create my own coaching program that worked. Now I teach coaches how to design their coaching programs, build a school-wide action plan, and use differentiated strategies to support teachers. Plus, I've got a special spot in my heart for literacy coaches. Now let's dig into the episode. And welcome to episode 226 of Instructional Coaching with Miss B. Today, we are talking about coaching trackers to track your coaching work and conversations. And we're really going to focus on the conversations as the first episode of my series on better coaching conversations. Now, if you are looking for a resource to help you with this, you can check out my Coaching Binder Mega Pack. It includes tracking forms for individual teachers, where you actually record the kinds of coaching support provided, and coaching conversations is one of those supports. And that's in my TBT store. You can grab it there. Just search for Mega Pack. You could also grab it on my website. And if you search for Mega Pack at buzzingwithmissb.com. You can also grab my free feedback sentence starters if you go to the show notes for this episode at buzzingwithmissb.com/episode226. And you can grab those feedback sentence starters if you are like unsure of how to start having these conversations with teachers. It's been a really helpful resource that many people have told me throughout the years that has benefited them. So check it out if you're in that same place. So we're going to start today by talking about some of the different methods for tracking your coaching work. And I'm actually going to invite a special guest on to share a technology resource that could be really helpful for that as well. But to get started first, I'm going to share my experience with you, and then we'll jump into that conversation. So there are different methods for tracking your coaching work, and it kind of depends on your own organizational style, because that's a real thing, and the purpose that you're using these conversations for. So I'm going to give you a couple of different ideas about why you might want to keep track of coaching conversations, and then we'll talk about the methods. One of the reasons that you want to keep track of coaching conversations is because it will help you see the needs that your school has. You can actually look for patterns across the conversations that you're having with teachers and identify patterns that really jump out at you that you could use to plan for sort of a school-wide action plan, like a tier one, everybody learns PD, or tier two differentiated PLC teams or PLTs. So you can use those conversations to notice patterns across your school. It can also help you identify growth, because the kinds of conversations that you have throughout the year will hopefully be changing and growing. And so if you're having more authentic conversations with teachers about their teaching practices, that's a good way of determining the kinds of growth that's happening at your school. Keeping track of your work can also help you stay focused, because if you have a goal that you're working towards, but then you look at your conversations that you documented and nothing is leading you towards this goal, that's an opportunity for you to say, yeah, maybe I'm kind of moving in the wrong direction, or maybe my goals aren't really where I need to be working because it doesn't actually meet the needs of my teachers. It's also just for practical reasons, really helpful to remember conversations you have with a specific teacher, because let's say you're working with one teacher and you meet with them in February about one topic, and then you're going to follow up with that teacher, right? Well, March can happen, April can happen, and you don't follow up because you haven't had a record. You don't have a place to go back and say, oh, when was I going to follow up? What was the action I was supposed to take? So it can help you to remember those conversations and then follow that thread of conversation until it actually makes change happen in the classroom, which if you're not purposely recording and documenting those conversations, you may not realize that those conversations aren't actually going anywhere. And that leads me to my last point, which is one of the purposes to recording these conversations is to leverage them into future coaching work, because you have to have the mindset that you are always going to be coaching. ABC, always be coaching. Every conversation with a teacher is an opportunity to, one, provide some coaching, and two, leverage that conversation into future coaching work. So if you're not documenting those, you might be missing out on those opportunities. And really, with coaches, we don't have time for conversations that don't go anywhere. We have got to leverage our time thoughtfully. So documenting conversations can help you always be coaching. So let's talk about some of my favorite methods. The first one, very low tech. We're going to start low tech and we're going to go more high tech. Okay. Low tech is just a notebook, like a composition book or a spiral notebook with little tabs for each teacher. And personally, I love this method. I like to write on paper whenever I'm making little notes for things. I like a little bulleted list I made on paper. And you can just use really simple little sticky tabs to separate, kind of like, I don't know if you read the Bible or another similar large text like that, and they have those little tabs that you can use to separate. You know, they're already labeled. Those are cool. Well, they have similar ones that are just plain, and you can just stick them on to the pages in your notebook and write the teacher's name on there and have a handy dandy notebook all ready to go to record your conversations. And so the way I do this is at the top of each little section, right? I'm going to divide it evenly into sections. The first page, I'm going to put the teacher's name at the top. And then I'm always going to record the date, probably in the right margin is where I usually like to do it. Just like whenever we're kids in school, right? We record the date in the right margin. And then for every entry, we've got the date, the topic of conversation, any next steps, and a follow-up if required. And you could actually add a little sticky note to that teacher page if there is a follow-up required, so it pops out and reminds you, oh, hey, I need to do this thing. Moving forward in technology, it's still a very low-tech option, but a binder with dividers. I used this method for years. I like to take like a 2 or 3 inch binder, a good size binder, really 2 inches works. And then for each grade level or department, I like to have one of those big plastic dividers that has a pocket in it. And I'll provide you with a link because I just love those dividers. Once somebody gave me a set of those, I was like, these are my favorite. They're so good because you can put little resources that you need for the conversations or for that specific team in the pocket. And I just love having that flexibility. So I have a big divider or like something to distinguish the grade levels or the departments. And then behind that divider, I have little dividers for each teacher, like the normal yellow divider tabs or the white ones for every teacher. And I use a recording sheet like the one that I have in my Binder Mega Pack. So that one is called the Instructional Support Log, and it has the date, the type of support provided, if follow-up is required, and then a little checkbox for the follow-up is completed, which is handy because sometimes we're like, did I do that? Right? And then just a space for notes. And so it's a simple document. It's got space for three entries on each page. You can write it out or you can type in it and print it out if you prefer to have a printed document to support something that you've written on your computer. You can do that. But it's an easy way to keep track of the kinds of work you're doing with each teacher and the support that you need to provide as a follow-up. Now, the next method, again, we're moving up on the technology scale, is a Google Sheet. Now, this is super handy. Like, I love Google Sheets because you can open them anywhere. You can use the app to edit on your phone, which sometimes is a little less than perfect, but it does work. And it's just a handy dandy spreadsheet. So you can have different ways to organize this. You can have a tab per teacher, and then each teacher is its own little tab. But if you have like a ton of teachers, that might be too much. You could also have a tab per grade level and multiple teachers on the same sheet. But the way that I prefer to do it is have a different sheet for each team. So, like, let's say I have a third grade sheet, I have a sixth grade sheet, or I might have a science department sheet, a social studies department sheet. And then within there, I'll have different individual, like, little tabs for each teacher. And so then you're just recording information on there like a spreadsheet, and you can format the stuff so it's already formatted the way you want. So you can do the teacher's name on the top of the header. You have your the date and like the first left column, the topic of the conversation in the next column, next steps, and then the follow-up if required. And then you could of course add that little space for if it's completed. You can also do those forms that I mentioned from the Mega Pack, I also have those available as Google Slides. So you can do that and just save them into a certain folder and name them by the teacher's name. And so there's like lots of different options for keeping track of those kinds of things in more accessible methods that it doesn't require really a lot of money from you know, or a lot of effort to set it up. Once you set up your system, you can just add to it throughout the year. And the benefit of having it in technology is it is searchable. So you can like search that sheet. Okay, did I talk to this person about this? And then if that word pops up, then you know that you did. So that is pretty handy. But I'm actually going to welcome my guest here in a minute. My guest is there are a couple of representatives from DigiCoach. Molly Dexter is going to be joining us. And we're going to be talking about their resources that could be really helpful to you. Molly and Kathy Beckham are going to join me. And we're going to talk about these resources that are great tools that I have seen myself. They are really designed with support personnel in mind. And so I wanted to share them with you. So I wanted to invite DigiCoach today to join me for this episode. And we're going to welcome them in just a minute.
So welcome, Molly and Kathy, to the podcast. And thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome. Happy to be here.
As a quick way to introduce yourselves, I would love to hear about a few things, and you can like take turns answering however you want to do this. Who do you help and how do you spend most of your time and energy at work?
Go ahead, Molly.
Okay, great. DigiCoach as a whole, we support school leaders in providing, that coaching feedback, improving their instructional coaching on their campuses. For me, I'm our client success manager. And so I'm really coming in and making sure that, the platform is being utilized, as the best I can. Want to make sure that, you purchase DigiCoach and you're using it effectively and getting that support that you need and feel like you have someone else on your team.
Awesome. Thank you. Kathy?
Well, I'm with 50 years of experience in education, I was always into curriculum and implementation of that. And then I've stayed with that here. I make sure that everything we do is research based. And I do a lot of the technical writing. And I help administrators or coaches, whomever is using the platform, to get their teachers on board and give them lots of different ways to utilize it to help for their clients, not just their teacher, their student clients, to achieve and to understand and to learn the skills we want them to learn and be lifelong learners. But I want to make sure that everything we put in is teacher language. It's how we're helping to coach teachers. And that's very important to us. Molly and I both were practitioners for well, me for a long time, Molly for a good time. And when I moved into supervising, it didn't change for me. I was always a coach and wanted to be a coach to help.
Awesome. My next question for both of you is, it might seem a little off track, but it's because I am on a mission this year to share hobbies with people. I feel like educators don't spend enough time being whole people. Instead, they are so devoted to schools and their work that sometimes we forget the rest. So, what is a hobby that you love?
Yeah, for me, I mean, that was definitely huge as a teacher. I oftentimes didn't devote enough time to my personal life. Now I'm very thankful. I love movement, anything exercise related, I really love. So I love roller skating, weightlifting, paddle boarding, anything that can get me outside, and just, moving, especially, being so devoted so much of your time to very intellectual things. It's just nice to be in tune with your body.
Yes, I love that. Thank you.
Well, I was a swimmer in high school and college and was always a coach also. I love to swim. I love anything about the ocean. I like to walk at the beach. We live at the beach, so I like to walk. I like to read anything that gives me a little bit of peace. I watch my grandson during the day too, and so he's 18 months old, and that's a active thing, but so I wouldn't call him a hobby. I'd call him a blessing. But so I like to read and swim and walk and just visit. I like to be with my friends.
I love it. Thank you so much. Okay, so as educators with varied roles and lots of experience, could you share a little bit of your experience specifically with coaching conversations and, in terms of the ongoing coaching work that you've done, and then why this became such an important part of the work that you do now?
Yeah, Kathy, do you want to start on that one?
Yeah, I think I will. I've always wanted to help everyone. So I became a BITSA coordinator, a mentor teacher, then a supervisor. I think that I learned the most about being a coach from being coached by some really good people. I had one lady that really helped me. I have the ability to see the big picture, but I'm also very detail oriented. And that's a good thing, except when you're trying to focus on one or two things. This coach I had, she really helped me not just with the big picture, but to focus on what I was going to work on for this amount of time. The data all shows that people can do things, two things well. You add a third thing, something suffers. And that's proven, that's science. So I learned that from her. She would talk with me about what my goals were, and I was kind of all over the place half the time. I saw so many things that needed to be done. And, you know, and that can be paralyzing if you're not careful. So she really helped me say, okay, well, what are we going to focus on this month? What do you want to really hit hard this month? And I would tell her, and I would work on that. When she came back the next month, that helped me so much. That was a really a great thing. So that's what I try to help people do, is have a, that's why we moved into DigiCoach too. We talk a lot about coaching cycles, because you need to have a focus, and it needs to be a strong focus, and you cannot do everything at once. You try that, you're not going to be good at anything.
Yes. I think that's sort of a hole that a lot of us fall into at the first, at the beginning of our coaching careers, is we try to tackle so many things at once and make so much change happen at the same time. And then that's not realistic. You can't do everything well. And I think, like you mentioned, I think a lot of coaches are natural helpers. So we kind of like, oh, we can help you with this and this and this. And it's just too much. It's overwhelming.
Yeah, I think as from the teacher lens, I was a teacher for several years. And, you know, I sometimes didn't get a lot of coaching, you know, feedback. And, you know, I had a really, I had a growth mindset, but I knew that there were areas that I needed to improve in. And so I wanted to know that. But, you know, I really wanted that continuous, meaningful support. So not just try this and then like that was the end of it. I really wanted to, you know, have somebody to work with that could come in and, you know, show me, you know, what I could try and try it out and, hey, did it work for you or not? And where can we go from here? And, you know, DigiCoach really helps with that too, being able to track, like, you know, what have we shared? What are those conversations that we've had in the past? And, you know, are we, you know, moving towards that goal that we've set together? So really kind of that partnership in that from a teacher lens was really important to me.
Yeah, that's a good point too. I as a teacher, you know, in the beginning of my career, I could relate to that. I can remember going to someone who was our coach, but they were kind of assigned to work with certain grade levels. And I can remember taking like, these are my reading groups. This is how I'm going to provide intervention, but I don't feel like this is the best way to structure this. What are your thoughts? And they looked at it and they were like, looks great. And I was like, I was like asking for feedback. I was asking for support. And I guess they just were not able to provide it at that time, or maybe for the other groups of kids I was working with. And so it just felt very like, well, you're on your own, you know, and even with a growth mindset, even with trying to learn new things and being pretty efficacious, it's difficult because you don't know what you don't know. Right. And so you need somebody to provide you with that feedback and support in an ongoing way. Yeah.
I think I was so, I feel so good about this and liked doing what I did when I got into the profession. Because when I got in, I received nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. And I think part of it, I started out in special ed. I think that I started out at kindergarten, really, and then when it moved in. But I think they just didn't know how to help me sometimes. I really think that was also the case. And they were like, okay, well, you're doing great. So I'd be like, what? Could you? And I think that's why I'm so passionate about it now, is because I know people need help. And I agree with you. You don't know till you don't know. You just don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And people need to help you get focus on that, because there are good strategies that work for people.
Yes. Yes, that we can share with them if we're aware of their need. So something that you mentioned, Molly, is about building a partnership over time and having ongoing support. Why is it important to track our coaching conversations over time? Like not just, you know, oh, this is what we talked about yesterday and I'm going to follow up now. Why is it important to have that record of conversations that have happened over time?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really important because so much of the coaching is kind of invisible. If you don't have a tool that you're using to go back and look at those different conversations, mm-hmm. our memories fail us all the time. You know, I'm not going to remember what you told me last week. You know, it's a new day, and being able to see, you know, I can implement something once that you've recommended me, great, but am I doing it consistently and improving over time? And being able to go back and look at those conversations and those strategies that you've shared, you know, that really shows that there is growth. Or, hey, this is something that you suggested me, but I did it once, but I don't understand. Actually, I just kind of did what you told me and I didn't actually, you know, learn from that. And I don't know how to apply it to a different scenario. And you know, a lot of that is sometimes you need somebody else to show you or give a really specific example. And that just might not be an area that you're, you know, as experienced in, you know, especially, you know, if you're in a new subject or a new grade level, like you might just need more than that. But being able to see that you are meeting those goals and actually, you know, growing in those areas, I think that's really important.
Yeah.
And I think when you're coaching, I coached in the time of a lot of the time, paper and pencil.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd write stuff down and put it in a folder, and I'd have a folder an inch thick, and I never looked at it again. Yeah. And if anybody says they do, it just doesn't happen. You don't have the time for that. I mean, education and people in education suffer from being time poor. And we just have so many things to do, whether you're a coach or a teacher, administrator. And I just didn't look at it. And I think that then we're back to the I think I feel, because I've been in there, I've observed, but what is the true picture of what I've seen? Mm-hmm. And I think that's why keeping a record and having it digitally, that's, you know, I was so ready for DigiCoach when they found me and I was decided that I was going to do this, because the Google Sheet, no one would help me disaggregate the data the way I wanted it to. So I made myself another job, going and doing it myself, and then trying to write an email at the end of the day at 5:30, 6 o'clock. I'm tired. I didn't want to do that, but I wanted to give immediate feedback to the teachers the way we want them to get immediate feedback to their students. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing that teachers need to be trained with. PD needs to look that way, how you want it to see it in the classroom. Meetings should look that way, and other things handled by email. But we should be giving teachers, having them do things that work in the classroom rather than just constantly talking about it. If talking about it worked, none of us would have had a job, because you could tell somebody one time they do it and that'd be it.
That's right.
So I think the consistency. And now we, with funding issues and everything else, we're in the middle of what kind of data do you have on that? Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to have that, but why are you the one that has to constantly collect it and disaggregate and this? That's taking away from your true mission of working with your students. Mm-hmm. You know, you should be developing lesson plans or out there helping someone else. But us, by being able to use DigiCoach, it changed everything. Our scores went up. We talked to each other better. It was really a good thing for us. It was all because everything was right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important. You know, as a coach, you can go in and look at exactly what you talked about last time. What did you make a coaching plan? What did you do? And then you can move from there.
Yeah, I love that, because as a coach, I had a notebook. My notebook I carried everywhere. Everybody knew that's Chrissy's notebook. And I used to joke, if I lose my notebook, I have to quit, because I have no idea what I'm doing anymore. And I would go back and look at it, but the effort that is required, you know, to go back and scan through your notes, and then you have to pull out patterns that you see that jump out at you, but it's not necessarily, you know, data-based. And then how to use that to justify anything to anybody else is very difficult, because those notes are like your shorthand for you in your notebook, and there's nothing quantifiable, which, like you said, what data do you have to support that? We have to justify so many things that we do as coaches, and that system does not help you do that. It's handy for certain purposes, and I'm very much a paper pencil person. I prefer to write things on paper. I'm more likely to remember them that way. Well, I think actually studies show that, but then you can't remember everything. You cannot. Yeah. It's too much. So even the act of writing it on paper is not enough. And so I do love that your system actually allows for you to go back and notice these trends and patterns without having to do all the disaggregation yourself.
Yeah. One of my favorite features coming from like teacher lens, like coaching, mm-hmm. is the strategies, the pre-written strategy and coaching tips that we have, because we have a report where you can go in and look to see, you know, whether it's a teacher or a department, grade level, you can see, you know, what specific tips you've been giving or what strategies you've been reinforcing, and really see, you know, what areas as a, you know, campus are we doing well in, what area as a teacher am I doing well in, and what areas can I grow in? And it's like very, very specific pieces of data that you can see, like I'm doing this well, or I can improve in this area. And it's something that's so easy to look at. And it's like my favorite part of my job is getting to go in and look at each school site or each district's data and really get to see, it shows a really clear picture of those trends and kind of what strong suit you have and what areas that you can grow in. So I love that from a teacher. It's all written, by teachers for teachers. So it's really about that coaching conversation. And it's, really helpful to track those conversations easily.
And what I found out too is that with that, Molly and I like the same report. That's our favorite report because it's very specific. But the thing I liked about it the most as a coach is that I always had my personal voice. I mean, I'm a digital immigrant. I mean, I was dragged kicking and screaming into this world. And so I needed something that was easy to use for me, that was simple for me to understand and get used to. But the other part was by giving my own voice, I would walk in, I would do my walkthrough, I would step right out, hit the speech to text button, and I would just record my observation, what I saw, what I thought, all that in my voice, which is important to a coach, to have your voice. And then I could move on. And in the afternoon, I could correct it because I'm a grammarian. Molly will laugh. Brandon's always, yeah. But I could correct it. And then I could choose the pre-written coaching tips and strategies that we had to go along with the lesson we were looking at. Mm-hmm. And that the teachers knew was just another form of data collection. And so that helped us drive PD. And so what I had found before in trying to schedule PD or even going to PD, it'd be like, oh, I don't know that I want to do this. But most times if they survey you, then all of a sudden everybody's choosing something they are fairly comfortable with and not what they really need. And this also gives you an idea of what people really do need to, move you toward the goals you have together. And also DigiCopes helps you set those goals. You can look and say, this is what we need to work on. And then you can work on it. And then you can gather data on it. Then you can look at it. You can talk about it. You can share it in meetings. And then you're talking about the strategies you're using with kids and how it's helping them instead of, should we sell donuts in the student store? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the kind of thing you want to have in your meetings. And it moved us forward. It really, really helped. And you saw teachers talking to each other because that's the magic. Teachers working together and sharing strategies and helping each other. And that's where it happens because they're there. They're in the trenches. They're on the front lines. Mm-hmm. And that's important to support them and support them well because they're staring at 30 little faces every day mm-hmm. on top of everything you're asking them to do.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because sometimes we collect tons of data. We have all these conversations recorded, but then we're unsure of what to do with that information and how we actually can leverage it into future coaching work. So it sounds like this, you're talking about leveraging it into PD, differentiating to meet needs and really using that information you've collected to keep your forward momentum and keep working together on things that are relevant to teachers.
Yeah. And for us, we also offer our data reviews for everyone we work with. Mm-hmm. So you're not just left to go look at your data. We, do this every single day. So we're able to look at your data and highlight things that from an outside perspective that you might not notice being on the inside and be able to take that and give our recommendation and, leverage that in a different way.
Yeah, that's a good point. We get stuck in our bubbles and it just happens to each of us because you are so like in your school, ins and outs of everything at your school. And so then your perspective becomes very much what is happening at my school, but you're looking at it through the lens of everything else you know about your school. And so sometimes you don't see things that an outsider could see very quickly, like if you have somebody from central office come by, sometimes even just having somebody from central office show up, you're like, oh my gosh, how have I not noticed this? Suddenly you see things like from their eyes. I can remember that used to happen to me as a teacher. I would be teaching a lesson and my principal would walk into the room and it was like my perspective shifted over to their perspective. And I was like, oh my gosh, like that is a mess. That has not been updated in how long. But you don't notice it because you're so in your little bubble. And so mm-hmm. it's good to have outside input to help us kind of shift our perspective and look through a different lens.
Yeah.
So one of the issues that coaches sometimes have is just due to the nature of our work, right? We're responsive, we're supporting a variety of teachers. And so it can be difficult to actually make sure we provide equitable support to teachers. because sometimes you have teachers that avoid you. Like every time you go into their classroom, they are not doing the thing they said they were going to be doing, right? Or you walk down the hallway and they walk the other way. And so you're like working on relationship building, but it's not always a quick process. And so then over time you realize, oh my gosh, I spent all this time with these people and I have spent next to no time with these people. So then how can coaches kind of keep track of conversations in a way that will help them be aware of where they provided support and where they haven't? Or the other issue is we've gotten stuck at the conversation level. Like we are, you know, we were working towards something, but we never moved into the classroom to actually make an input. So how can we keep track of conversations in a way that will forward our motion?
Yeah. DigiCoach offers, I think, a lot of different ways to do that, honestly, mm-hmm. which is something that I love. We have a few different reports that lets you see, you know, whose classroom have I been in? And recently, like how long I was in there, how many times I've been in there, being able to compare that teacher to teacher and be like, oh, I've been into this person's classroom 5 times and this person once. Like sometimes we just don't really notice that. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing about really building that relationship too with DigiCoach, we are very focused on that coaching conversation and making sure that we are building those conversations. Because while I was a teacher that really wanted that feedback and didn't mind when you came in, I also worked with many people who were very apprehensive to it. But everything that we write being so coaching friendly and so encouraging and very, you know, based on, hey, like, have you tried this before? Or really based on like reflective questions and that really driving that conversation and being able to see like what you're sharing directly with those teachers shows, hey, like I want to support you in this way and kind of opening up that conversation more. But being able to see that frequency of, you know, when I was in their classroom and even am I providing, you know, just in reinforcements for stuff that they're doing well, or am I also offering ways that they can grow? Because when teachers start to see that we are really invested in their growth and in their support, you know, in wanting to support them, like that really builds that relationship. And they're going to start inviting you into their classroom because they see that, you know, you're not just trying to catch them doing something wrong. You really are trying to support them. And all of our reports really reinforce that. All this data that we're collecting, you know, it's really just to support teachers. And I think data sometimes feels like pass or fail if you don't think about it enough. And it really is these reports that show us that it's deeper than that. It is going into, you know, what are we doing well and really praising that. We often talk with schools about you know, pulling that data and sharing it with your teachers actually and showing, hey, you know, this is a strategy that we've seen all of you guys using really, really well. And then, you know, here's one that we noticed that, you know, we're generally struggling with. So like, let's have a conversation and what ways can we incorporate this into our classrooms? And I think that really helps drive that more equitable coaching atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah. Something else I want to ask about, you and Kathy both mentioned this one report that you love the most because it includes like what was it? Something about strategies that are recommended. Can you give us some examples of what that sounds like?
Yeah, so a lot of them might be, so our strategies are always written to say, you know, I saw you doing this in the classroom and this is how it helped your students. Mm-hmm. So for example, you know, we might have something around like a think, pair, share strategy. So, you know, when you incorporated that think, pair, share for your students really took initiative in their learning. And then for every strategy we write, we also write the flip side of a coaching tip, like, you know, to help your students have more buy-in and practice speaking and remembering what they're, you know, what they're learning, try incorporating a think, pair, share. And it might go into more specific strategies than that. It might just be, you know, your room arrangement, like, hey, try switching up your groups or using different level groups. There's so many, we've written like thousands and thousands of them at this point. Just to make sure that there's something in there for everyone. Mm-hmm. And if someone, you know, comes to us with something that they want customized, like all of it is very customizable. So we write strategies and coaching tips, you know, every couple of weeks because someone has, you know, asked for something new that we are incorporating.
Okay. And then is there something to notify a coach when you're using the same thing over and over again, because sometimes we provide the same tip over and like coaching tip over and over.
Yeah, in the app, we have our library of all of our strategies and coaching tips. And if you've already shared it with a teacher, you as a coach or anyone that's on your team, whether it's your vice principal or principal, we have a dosage. We have a little number that pops up next to that strategy or coaching tip to let you know, hey, we've shared this tip with this teacher 3 times. Might not be the tip that I choose in that moment then, because, you know, if we're sharing this many times, that's a conversation that we need to have. Like, yeah, hey, we keep sharing this, but it's not coming across in the same way that, you know, we're seeing that change. So let's have a conversation around that. And I might choose a different strategy or coaching tip to share that time and instead have that conversation later on.
Yeah, I like that, because that happens frequently. And then you mm-hmm. might realize, okay, this is some learning we need to do here. You know, this is maybe we need to to do some professional development about this, or I need to model mm-hmm. it during a PLC meeting or something. You know, we need to have further opportunities to get better at that.
Yeah.
With the dosage on strategies, it also helps to know who your superstars are. So if you need to go have somebody watch a lesson and you offer that up, that was helpful. But, you know, you just want to be giving that feedback. And the nice thing is we have quite a few. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing is it's customizable. If you don't want to use that and you want to use something else, then you can, you know, send it to us and we'll get it. We'll do it for you. You know, mm-hmm. we'll put it for you.
Awesome. Yeah. And even as you, you know, insert one of those tips into this email, you can even adjust that language there. So mm-hmm. if it's not exactly, you know, it doesn't sound exactly like you, you get to adjust that, and it's still tracking that data. That's something you shared, but you were able to customize it a little bit more to really make that teacher see that you were there and you were paying attention and giving them more direction into, you know, where you want them to go.
I like
and
that.
And part of that too is with the coaching, with the use of the app and having coaching cycles, you're not giving them a ton of stuff to read. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you include a whole lot in an email, nobody wants to read that. Mm-hmm. And so it needs to be, you know, you need to support the teacher, give them kudos and some suggestions. That's what coaching is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's just that teachers are now being exposed to this, you know, instead of being the last bastion of control in your classroom. You know, people are coming in and out. People are giving suggestions. People are helping you, because education is changing very fast. The world's changing very fast, and we need support. Yeah. So
what a good summary statement to wrap us up. Thank you so much for being here today. And how can people learn more? How can they access these resources? What do you have for us?
Yeah, if you visit digicoach.com, we have a few, you can contact us right there. We send out monthly newsletters where I really like to go into kind of more educational content, something that we can offer you, whether you subscribe to DigiCoach or not. Mm-hmm. And we have a coaching center on our website as well, that kind of has blogs and some more information about coaching cycles or anything if you're looking to grow in that area. Or you can follow us on Instagram, social media, DigiCoach app.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
It's rare that I go into depth this much with a resource that is provided for coaches, but I just thought, I really think this is neat. You know, I mean, the hours that I've spent going through my coaching notes, I know how difficult that can be. And I like the customizable tools. I like that you can personalize the feedback to teachers so it sounds like you and it doesn't sound like you're just checking things off of a list. I really like that. I think that coaches need the tools that they need to do their job. So check out DigiCoach. And if you like it, that's great. If not, you can certainly take away some of the ideas that Molly and Kathy shared during our conversation about, you know, using that as forward momentum, having conversations around the things you're seeing across the school. And I love the suggestion, visit a colleague is one of my favorite strategies for working with teachers. So getting teachers into each other's classrooms to really build on the good things that you already have happening at your school. If you are looking to track your coaching conversations, I would love to hear about what method you are going to pursue. If you want to send me an email about this episode, I would be more than happy to respond to you. And I can't wait to share next week's episode with you. We're continuing our Better Coaching Conversation series with Becca Silver. Becca has been a guest on this podcast before. So she's going to share about breaking through resistance with difficult conversations. And she has some really cool new thoughts on this topic. So I cannot wait to share that episode with you next week. And until then, happy coaching. Now that you've got so much to think about, head over to buzzingwithmissb.com to grab some free downloads, become a VIB, and check out the podcast show notes. Happy coaching.